was placed on them when I was age 32 after a breakdown for too much studying and work pressure. But to be honest, Victoria, I was put on them at 32 and I've no memory whatsoever for 10 years on the drugs. My memory only started coming back when I started to withdraw, but honestly, I've no memory of my two young girls growing up or my wife or my family life for 10 years. You know, that's one of the things I've had to deal with, to be honest, since I've came off.
When you were originally prescribed them at age 32, was it made clear to you by your doctor that these could be highly addictive?
No, there was nothing at all, no warning whatsoever.
Do you recall if they were prescribed for short-term relief?
Yeah, they should be. I mean, the guidelines are 2 to 4 weeks by the Committee of Safety of Medicines in 1988, and that's, for me, that is one of the big problems with what's happening at the moment. I think the guidelines should be made mandatory. And
right.
they should be enforceable, because if we don't stop new addicts coming onto the market, we're never going to sort this problem out.
So when you were going back to the doctors for repeat prescriptions, on some occasions you would see the GP again because you have to. You probably don't remember the conversations.
No, I don't.
What do you think of the GP who prescribed them, or the various GPs who prescribed them for 10 years?
Well, I mean, they were prescribing off licence because, you know, it's only been prescribed for short-term use. I mean, you know, the group that helped to run it here in Oldham at Tranks, we've got people on these drugs who've been on them for 30, 40 years. Mm. And the only reason that they're on them, apart from the fact that there aren't any services to get people off, is because they're taking them, they're taking them just purely to stay off the withdrawals. That, you know, they far outlive their efficacy or their usefulness.
Mm. Do you think patients have to take some responsibility for this as well or not?
Well, but the thing is that, the doctors are, they're not really warning the patients just how addictive and how dangerous these drugs are. And to be honest, Victoria, there should be other sources of help. You know, there should be CBT, there should be other therapies rather than just push a drug at a person. It's just far, far too cheap. I mean, the drugs only cost literally pennies, but to put services in, proper services, it's going to cost money. And I don't think the government have got the political will to do it.
Dr. Peter Swinyard is a GP in Swindon and chairman of the Family Doctor Association. Hello.
Good morning.
Do you accept that some GPs prescribe too readily?
I think it's very difficult for GPs to make very good prescribing choices with the pressure of work upon them at the moment. But I don't think any of us just sort of say, take some tranquilizers and go away, because that actually is pretty poor practice, because it is much better to try and get to the root of what the problem is that a patient is coming to you with, rather than trying to put sticking plaster on it. I always view tranquilizer prescription just by itself as being a very short-term thing for a very short-term problem, rather than being something you would wish to continue for any length of time.
What's the difference between sleeping pills and tranquilizers?
Probably not a great deal, in all honesty, because most of the drugs we use as sleeping pills these days are from the benzodiazepine class, or what are called the Z drugs, Zopiclone and Zaleplon, which are really quite similar in their modes of action, although potentially slightly less addictive. The good use of such things, of sleeping pills, is for people who have a difficult shift pattern and just need help for a night or two every time they change shifts in getting their body clock back into sleeping for a reasonable amount of time so that they can work effectively.
Do you think that's a reasonable prescription for somebody?
I think that's a reasonable prescription to be used intermittently and occasionally, but not every night. For people who've got a situational disturbance, such as a sudden bereavement or whatever, which has really thrown them completely, and who really need to get some sleep, and I think to use some sleeping tablets for a week or two in those circumstances is perfectly reasonable, but not to continue them beyond 6 weeks, which is the recommendation. And likewise with tranquilizers, I would have to say that my greatest use of diazepam, which is the original trade name of which was Valium, is actually not as a tranquilizer, but as a muscle relaxant in small dose for people who've got acute back injuries or neck injuries, in which it's really very useful to have for a week or two's course to try and just relax the muscles and allow the joints to sort themselves out.
Do you have people coming to you who say, I'm now addicted to these sleeping pills?
Oh, absolutely, yes. There is a cohort of mostly older people, but not entirely, who have been taking sleeping draughts of some sort. Tamoxifen is the most common one nowadays, over a number of years. And they tend to be elderly people, as I say, not exclusively. Mm. And to get them off the sleeping pills is a dreadfully difficult job, because they are very addictive if used for too long.
But the only way they can use them for too long is if they're prescribed them.
Well, I agree. And, you know, some people are very insistent that they must have their sleeping pills and will put a great deal of pressure on their doctor or their other prescriber to give them the sleeping pills. Now,
Is it hard to resist that kind of pressure?
Well, I think you have to be fairly robust on occasion and just say, I'm really sorry, but no. But then you see patients will shop around and go and try and find someone who will prescribe.
Yes.
And this is a very difficult situation. What is so important for patients is to have continuity of care and to build up a good trusting relationship with their doctor so that they can actually perhaps accept what might be a difficult message from the doctor, which is that actually this isn't the best thing for you in the long term. And we might have to try other things, or you might even have to learn that sleeping for 8 hours or even 6 hours a night is not the way your body wants to work, and, you know, to follow that sort of social norm that you fall asleep at 11 o'clock at night and don't wake up till 7 o'clock in the morning is just not a practicality for
yes.
you.
Can I introduce a Five Live listener, Sally in Kent? Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming on the programme.
Okay.
You were prescribed diazepam for about 18 months, I
yep.
think. Why so long? Do you know?
Just because I was just continually anxious. I was on antidepressants as well, obviously for the depression. I'd had a breakdown. And I just kept going back to the GP and they just kept writing out prescriptions, really, just for the anxiety.
Right.
So.
And you came off them in December 2010. Mm-hmm. What was that process like?
It was quite hard. I did the diazepam first and then gave a few months, then started the antidepressant withdrawal and took my last tablet in that December.
And what was motivating you to come off them?
I'd walked away from the situation that had caused the breakdown.
Right.
So I thought now's the time to try and come off the medication because I didn't feel that I needed to be on it anymore.
And tell me about the withdrawal process. What was that like?
It was sheer and utter hell. It's the only way to describe it. Up until I took the last tablet, I could begin to feel the withdrawal was really kicking in. Then literally, I mean, I'm just over 2 years now and still suffering from withdrawal symptoms. The mental side of it is gradually getting better, but I started having the anxiety, panic attacks, depression, obsessional thinking, all the stuff that I'd had before started coming back. So when I went to my GP, I was just told, it's your old problems coming back, you need to be back on the medication. But if it wasn't for finding books and support websites that said this is just withdrawal and it's your body readjusting, I probably would have gone back on the medication, but I was stuck with it, and I'm glad that I did.
Yes, I'm sure. Do you have some sympathy for GPs who effectively have 10 minutes to see most patients? They're hugely busy. There is not enough time in the day to spend a lot of time discussing all the options.
Yeah, I do, and I do think they've been given a hard time, to be honest. I mean, when I had the breakdown and I was on the medication, I was exactly the same. I was going back almost begging, you know, for the diazepam. And my GP at the time, not the one I've got now, but the one before, she was very good. She was very supportive. And I couldn't have coped without the medication at the time. I know it is really difficult. But I was just...
Why were you begging? Why were you having to beg? Because she was saying, look, this is a short-term thing and we shouldn't keep prescribing them, or what?
I think it was out of fear, really. I was worried that one day she would say to me, no, you know, that you've got to start cutting these down. And I was so panicky that I couldn't cope without them.
Yes.
I was obviously addicted by then. And I just thought, say, you know, I go in one day and she says, no, that's it. But suddenly then I, you know, my situation changed. I thought, yes. Right, I'm going to try and come off these now.
Ryan, good morning. Not your real name, as I said, in London. Jackie, hello, welcome to the programme. And Tom, good morning to you. Thanks for coming on the programme as well. Ryan, tell us what job you were doing and what experiences you were having, which led you to being described such drugs.
Well, I work as a broker in the city. I actually work the Asian market, so this is my evening time, really, at the moment. So I work from 9 p.m. till 7 a.m. Every day, Sunday to Thursday.
Oh, gosh. And how long have you been doing that for, Ryan?
That's been about 3 years or so.
Okay. And the financial rewards worth it?
Yeah. It's. I mean, I've been listening to you talk about the welfare payments and what have you, and obviously I have my views on that as well, but I mean, that's not the time for it now. It pays fairly well, but it's a very, very pressurised job, obviously, as well. And it, you know, it's not all partying and fun. It is very stressful.
Yes.
And so to keep going in that environment is quite hard, and there is a lot of stories that I'm sure many of you listeners will be aware of people finding a little bit extra to keep them going, and I was one of those people. I started using MDMA recreationally before I was working and what have you, and I started, you know, as you use more and more, your tolerance grows more and more. And it sort of turned out that I ended up using that to get me through the day at work and what have you. And from that, that obviously has an impact on your sleeping patterns and things like that. And I've been struggling to sleep, not only because of that, but because I have to sleep during the daylight hours.
Yeah.
So I've been to the doctors to see them and try and get some help with that. And despite my best efforts, I just keep getting prescribed clonazepam.
Right. Do you want that?
Yeah. Not really, no. Because I've had these problems in the past of taking, obviously, illegal drugs, I don't really want to be... I don't want to get hooked on these legal drugs because they seem even easier to get hold of. They're not as expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's $7.50 a prescription. From the horror stories I've been hearing from this morning of people, I mean, the guy who was addicted for 10 years and lost 10 years of his life, well, you know, I don't want that. You know, I'm still quite young.
No, but the guidelines, as that guest particularly pointed out, the guidelines are for 2 to 4 weeks. If you were prescribed, whatever, for 2 to 4 weeks, along, you know, as the guidelines suggest, and the GP keeps you monitored, then short term, it might help you.
It could do. But I think whenever I've gone back to the GP, I mean, you had a GP on earlier who was saying that the drug route was a last resort almost for them, and then they usually look to help in other ways first. And I've not found that in my case. I've found that it's just been, well, you struggle sleeping. You obviously have a high tolerance to drugs because of my past. Have this, you know, have the strongest sleeping tablet we can find. And every time I go back, despite my best efforts, it's that. And I don't get any sort of DBT therapy or anything like that.
No. Often. I wonder if, I mean, there's one, and I don't mean this in a facetious way, and I don't think the listener who tweeted this did either. They say, if you cannot sleep, then go out and do a bike ride, or go for a jog, or do something.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, I'm very active. I mean, obviously, you know, gym memberships and things like that, and I regularly attend the gym and sort of look after myself. It's more a hangover from when I was on MDMA.
Let me bring in Alison.
The struggle,
Ryan. Alison in Northumberland.
Yeah.
She's a fellow Five listener. Obviously, she's not going to advise you on anything, neither nor am I, clearly, because we're not experts, but she can tell you about her own experience. Alison, hello, go ahead.
Hi. I was diagnosed with a chronic illness last summer, and I was put on very high levels of steroids, side effect of which was no sleep.
Right.
So after about 6 nights of literally no sleep, and I was rather psychotic, I went to my GP, and he prescribed me temazepam. But he was very clear about how addictive they were and basically said, you know, take them for a couple of nights so you get a couple of nights' sleep, see how you go, and then maybe just take them every 3 nights.
Right.
So I would go, you know, 2 nights, great night's sleep, and then 2 nights, no sleep at all. And it would be very tempting to take them every night and think, oh, have a good night's sleep, because the days when I didn't sleep were hell. But I realised that if I took them every night, I was going to be addicted to them.
Sure, sure. And that, in a way, that temptation, whether you succumb to it, it depends on the nature of your personality, doesn't it, Alison? Obviously, you've got some strength in you that says, no, I'm going to absolutely stick to what the GP told me, as opposed to somebody else who may think, oh, actually, the good night's sleep, the short-term relief is worth it.
Possibly. I mean, I was a smoker in the past. You know, it took me ages to give up smoking. Whether I was worried, and I think I was quite paranoid about becoming addicted to something else. So I just kept reminding myself. But it's so tempting when you're so tired. I can totally see why people become dependent on them. I mean, I've still got them in the wardrobe now, at the top of the wardrobe, if I need one. But I haven't had any for 2 months now because I'm sleeping fine. The steroids have reduced.
Yeah.
But I think what I want to say as well is it's not just people with anxiety and insomnia. People who have other illnesses and side effects from medications often can't sleep and they can't have CBT or anything like that.
I understand,
that doesn't help.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. Ryan, having heard what Alison said, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I totally agree that when I was speaking to your researcher before, I was sort of telling him about how many I do have, and I have just like boxes stacked away in the corners because it is terrifying, the thought of getting hooked on these. You know,
I wonder if that helps, though, both of you. What do you know, you have them there. Mm. If you need them, they are there.
Yeah.
But that, in a way, that almost releases pressure because they are convenient if you need them. But on the other hand, you don't want to take them.
Yeah, I think I've got them there in the corner.
Yes.
I'm not going to take them, but I just that anxiety that if this insomnia comes back, I know I've got something that can help me. But I'm not going to take it unless it gets bad again, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Sorry.
No, go on, Ryan, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think, obviously, your other caller has a much more focused mind than mine, I think, whereas I know that if I had a couple, I would be just looking for that short-term relief and what have you, and would plow through those 300 in 300 nights. I think it's, you know, it's admirable of the other listeners to be able to stick to what the GP says and what have you. And it's not like not everybody is like that, and a lot of people do obviously have that problem with saying no almost to themselves.
And so should you be asleep right now, Ryan?
I'm going to go to bed in about an hour's time or so.
Okay, all right. Well, good luck with that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thanks, Ryan.